this day. Lord, we come before You, Lord, as Your people. Lord, we come before You with grateful hearts, Lord, as those that have been called by Your name, Father, those that You have quickened by Your Spirit, Lord, set aside from the foundation of the world, Lord, to be Your sons and daughters. Father, we come before You, Lord, this day, knowing this, Father, and appreciating, Lord God, Your hand in our lives, Lord, and Your hand drawing us unto Yourself. And Lord, just this day, Father, as we look to You, Father, we look to the Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, Lord, to lead and guide us during this time. Father, we utilize the authority that You've given us, Lord, to bind every spirit of darkness and every work of the enemy, and Lord, to cast it out in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, we take full authority, Lord God, over every work of the enemy, Lord, and we dispatch it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray, Father, this day, that Lord, Your Spirit of freedom, Lord God, would reign in our hearts, and Lord, that Your peace that passes all understanding, Lord, would guard each and every one of us, Lord God, as we look to You, Father, the stillness that comes from Your Spirit, Lord, within each and every soul, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just acknowledge openly, Father, there's nothing good in me but to Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, to Your Spirit, I yield as we go forward, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And to sing praises unto His name. I like some of those old songs. They're always fun. There's been something I've been thinking about recently. I wanted to talk a little bit about it this morning. And I'm not going to go into all of it this morning, but it's been an interesting question bouncing around in my head. My question is, what is power? What is power? You know, so often people, they're always talking about power. Oh, this is a powerful person. Or that was a powerful meeting. Or a very, very powerful prayer. Or, this is a powerful country. Or, you know, that word, people use it a lot. And you find, too, that there's a lot of people in the world chasing after power. And yet, as I thought about it, I started to realize there's a very few people that actually understand what it is. They're chasing after something, and yet what they're chasing after seems to be their perception of what it is compared to what it truly is. Okay, I'll open up a question. Anyone wants to try? I've been thinking about this, but what do you think power is? What do you think it is? What do you feel like it is? No, everyone gets so shy. It's okay. This is a safer spot. Go ahead. Force. All right, force. Yeah. Strength force. Yeah. Okay. Other thoughts? Kian, I can see right there when somebody just wants to say it. It just almost comes out there. Oh, no, I don't want to say it. No, just say it. It's okay. Kian. Okay. I know that you know, it's something to. Okay, here. Let's go to a quick scripture. Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Right? Okay. So now, here's something that we can right away ascertain, and right away get a hold of. Is that whatever power is, all of it belongs to Jesus. So I'll say that again. Whatever power is, whatever it may be, in whatever shape, form that it manifests, that all of it belongs to Him. He owns it all. Okay, this is a very important thing to establish early on, because even if we don't, you know, how many of us, you enjoy the use of a motor vehicle? Either you take the bus, you take a three-wheeler, you drive in a car. Do you need to know everything about how that vehicle works? Do you understand all the things that make a three-wheeler work? No, we do not. Some people maybe, but no, by and large, most people, the majority of people, don't understand how a vehicle works. But it doesn't stop you from enjoying the benefit of taking the ride to where you need to go. So, likewise, there's thank God that somebody understands how those things work, and you use it, you enjoy it, even if you don't understand all of what is entailed in that. You know, some of these things with God, some of these mysteries that are there with God, you could spend a lifetime just pondering one tiny little piece and never understand it completely because of God's complexity and God's infinite wisdom. And yet God will draw us into a certain process of discovery just so that we can understand a little bit more about Him and His love and for His creation and for us. I mean, just take that plant back there. Just that plant alone, we could spend the rest of our natural lives just understanding how that plant works and still never understand it completely. You know, I heard a story some time back of the guy that the use of the peanut, he had asked God to teach him all about agriculture. And the story that I heard said that God said your brain can't hold all of that information. So then he said, okay, just the peanut, teach me what about the peanut. And God gave him over 200 plus uses for the peanut, including peanut oil, peanut butter, peanut this, peanut that.
ඉතින් දෙවියන් වහන්සේට පෙන්වන්නේ මේ රටකඩ වලින් හදන දේවල්. ඒක ජාති ගොඩක් ජාති
So, you know, you could spend a lifetime just beginning to understand something so small and so minute in God's creation. And God unlocks that to His people. God gives creative ability and power to those that walk with Him. Okay, but back to this thing about power. Now, even though we will not understand all the components of it in our natural mind and our natural understanding, but one thing we do know right away, we've established, is that all power has been given unto Christ Jesus. He owns it all. Okay. Now, as I was thinking about this, something that you realize is, okay, everything seems to have some measure of power intrinsic to itself. It has power within itself, something. So, an ant walking on the floor has a certain amount of power. If you see that ant and he picks up, you know, something 3-4 times its size, they say the ant can carry something 20 times its own body weight. You see, there's power in that little guy. If they've ever worked their way through your cupboards, you can see that they have power eating all of your food and taking it. Okay, now you have a measure of power within yourself. Which is inbuilt into you as an individual walking around in this world. And now, that measure of power that I have within my physical, mental, spiritual being also is in relationship to other things, other people walking around. So as powerful as that ant may be on the ground, I have a degree of power in relationship to that ant, and if I choose to, I can make that ant's life very miserable. Okay, so things have power. And you know, even something they discovered, you know, in the middle of this last century, in the 1960s, but not the 60s, sorry, the 40s. And towards, they found how to split the atom. They took the atom and they split the atom. And they took something very small and created a bomb that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So there was power in something very small, but in the right context, when that was unlocked, it had power. It had an amazing power, and it did incredible destruction. Okay, so there's intrinsic power, there's power that's within, right? But something also that people learn very quickly is that the power that we have as individuals is also very limited. So, you see a picture of the universe from a satellite. Or or you understand something about just the world you live in and all that's going on, and you realize how limited the power is that you have within yourself. In natural respects. I mean, yes, I can pick something up, I can lift something, but there's a limit to that power. That's why so many of those guys go to the gym, because they go and they take the big weights and they lift and to get to look like they have more power. You know, it's a show. They want to, I'm big and powerful now, big and strong. Now there's a difference between somebody that's big and strong and somebody that actually has power. Have you seen the difference between an athlete that actually can perform and somebody that looks like they can perform but can't? Okay, but power limitations on everything natural. This all has a limit, right? Now there is another form of power too that flows from a connection to a source. So while something may have a degree of power in itself, there's power that flows when it comes into connection with something else. Now, if at any point, if you want me to stop and clarify, please just ask me to, because there's power that flows from a connection. So, okay. Take something electrical. So the light here, the fan here, right? In order for power to flow, it has to be connected to a source. And when it's plugged into that source, there's power that flows from that source into that device and makes it work, gives it power. Now, human beings also are very much like that. Because when they realize their natural lack and their natural limitation, many of them seek a connection to something outside of themselves to enhance their power. So how many people want to say they know such and such? I know such and such person. I know such and such. They have some connection to something political, or they know somebody. Why is it that people chase after money in this world? Why is it that people chase after that? Part of the reason is because there's a thought in the minds of people that there is power within that. If you can get that, you now can control things. So there is a pursuit in the minds of many, many people in this world for things that they believe will give them power. Now, here's the thing. Let's back to the scripture there. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So the source of all power, the, Jesus is the ultimate power. But the problem that most people have with Jesus is that His power flows on His terms. See, that's the issue that most people seem to have with Jesus, is that in order for His power to flow, it comes on His terms. So if God says, you go right, and you choose by your free will to go left, if you've gone left, you are now out of step and out of place and out of position for the connection and the power of God to flow through you. Now, in that situation, because of the other people that are there and around, God may do something there for the sake of those people. But He will have done that in spite of you, not with you working with Him, if that makes sense. Because God has a wonderful way of still reaching His people, even with very disobedient people running around claiming His name and His connection. But to be in the flow of the power of God, it comes on His terms, His way. You have to be in step with Him. So if He says go left, you go left. If He says go right, you go right. If He says sell everything and follow Me, you sell everything and follow Him. If He says become a CEO, you become a CEO. If He says write a song, become a musician, you write a song and you become a musician. Well, that's just it. The thing about choice is you choose of your free will to ask for the will of God and to submit to that. So your choice is to choose Him. See, God, exactly. Here's what happens with our choice. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, when He's teaching, they call it the Lord's Prayer, it's really the disciples' prayer. He's teaching His disciples how to pray. They're asking, how do we pray? And He teaches them to pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Now, what that is I choose of the free will God's given me and put in me to choose His will and to submit to that. So that becomes my choice. And I'm asking for that I'm asking for His will to be the will that I choose. Now I can choose whatever I want. I can choose to not go that way. But if I truly want the will of God, if I truly want to also be in connection with Him, then my choice has to be, Lord, Your will be done, and I accept that no matter what it is and no matter how it manifests. That's on His terms, yes. Now, because I welcome that, if anyone has a statement, please say. Okay, because a lot of people have an issue with God, Your will be done, they have an issue with that. They have a problem with that. And so what happens is people then search for connection and power in some other way. In this country, we're very familiar with some of these things. How many of you have heard the all the stuff going on at 2, 3, 4 in the morning? Sometimes, you know, you hear all the sastakaryas and all that stuff happening at 3 in the morning. What are they doing? Are they doing that because it's fun? No, what they're doing is they're trying to get power over a situation through demonic forces, through demonic powers that they are interacting with, but out of self-will, trying to control something. Here's another way people try to get power. They try to get power by gathering and collecting other people. See, if you can get... people have a degree of power within themselves, yes? Plus, you have an eternal soul, which is a very valuable, incredibly powerful thing that lives within you. So people try to get power by gathering other people. And if they can get other people to look to them, to follow them, they harness the power that's within them. And just like a battery, they drain the energy out of those people. Now, here's a question. Okay, is Bill Gates a powerful person? Is he a powerful person? Okay, you say yes. Okay, why? Because he controls the software that most people run their computers on, and anything else? And because he has a lot of money. Those are probably the only two that most people would probably say. Now,
Bill Gates is a computer.
Now, if somebody came out with a new, better software that everyone started switching over to, and in 6 months people changed their computers running what they ran on, would he still have that power?
Software අරක නතර කරලා අනිත් එක තෝරගත්තොත් එතනින් එහාට යාට තවත් දුරටත් යන බලවත් මිනිසෙක් කියලා අපි කියනවා.
No, he would lose that power very quickly. Okay, here's it with the money that he may have. If some internal accountant decides to play with his money, bad investment, something goes wrong the other way, and that has gone away. Does he still have that power anymore? Or let's put it back into just the limitation of the human body. Say he gets a sickness that he has within. All of the wealth that he has, he cannot buy himself out of the ultimate fact that he will die. So as powerful as he might, or other people might think that he is he more powerful than death? No, he's not. But how many people try to get an audience with that person, try to become friends with that person, try to get something from that person because they believe that he has a measure of what? Power. Okay, let's take two more examples at the same time. President Obama, President Mahinda Rajapaksa. Two global leaders. Are these powerful people? Okay, in the context of people in the world, they would be considered powerful people, right? Okay, why would they be considered that? Because of their position, right? Because what has happened for them to be able to get that position? What has taken place for them to be in that position? Okay. What's happened? Oh, and money. That's true. That's been there. A lot of money has gone to buy them their positions. What else? It cost Obama $2 billion to run his campaign in America. Billion. That's 2,000 million. Actually, it's 1.9, but I'm rounding up. What else took place? So a lot of money? Education. And people. People had to do what? People had to vote, or they had to believe that they voted. In both countries, by the way. But what ultimately, all the things that had happened to give them a position, where what happens in that position? Where other people now give credibility to that person because of the position that they hold. See, the moment that those positions lose their credibility, they no longer have power anymore. See, if you don't give credibility to the position that somebody has, they have no power in that situation, in that context.
යම්කිසි කෙනෙකුට ඒගොල්ලන්ගේ කර්තේ වටිනාකම දන්නේ නැත්නම් ඒ සීන තත්ත්වයට වටිනාකමක් නොදී හිටියනම් තවදුරටත් එතන බලයක් පුද්ගලයන් ක්‍රියා කරන්නේ නැහැ.
So in Sri Lanka's case, the United Nations has been wanting to do a war crimes investigation over this country towards the end of the war, right? And now, you remember what happened in front of the UN offices? It's the second time in the history of the UN that somebody's burned an effigy of the head of the UN. And when they tried to send people to Sri Lanka, they just said, no, nothing doing, no, you can't come in. No visa for you. And in that situation, the man at the visa counter has more power than the Secretary General of the United Nations. Do you understand when the context changes slightly that the man at the visa counter at the airport has more power than the Secretary General of the United Nations? One small change, one small twist in the way that perception is had in this context, and all of a sudden, people that they thought were powerful have no power. And that's why in so many of these countries, they also have to have what? An army. Because the moment that you don't fall for the illusion, they need to be able to shoot you. They have to be able to shoot you, threaten you by force, all of that, because if you don't believe the illusion, now you have to be able to be coerced into that direction. You have to be forced that way. Now, okay, here's a quick scripture. Go to John chapter 19. Since we're talking about leaders in positions, yes? Let's see here. Let's start at chapter 19, verse 1. I'm going to just read for a little bit. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" And Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." And All right, so let's just read 1 through 11.
එවිට පිලාත් යේසුස් වහන්සේට සැලෙව්වේ හේ වායෝද කට උතුන්නක් ගොතා උන්වහන්සේගේ ඉදිසිය තබා රත්නින් වස්ත්‍රයක් උන්වහන්සේට කලඳවා උන්වහන්සේ ළඟට ඇවිත් විජය වරුන්ගේ රජුවනි සුබ සිද්ධිය කියා උන්වහන්සේට ඇතුන් පහර ගැතුවෝය. පිලාත් නැවත පිටතට ගොස් මොහු අත කිසි වරදක් මට නොපෙනෙන බව නුඹලා දැනගන්නා පිණිස මෙන්න ඔහු නුඹලා ළඟට ගෙනදී ඔහුට කීවේ. එකල යේසුස් වහන්සේ කට උතුන්නද රත්නින් වස්ත්‍රයට ඇතිව පිටතට ආසේක. පිලාත් මෙන්න ඒ මිනිසයා කියා ඔහුට කීවේය. එවිට නායක පූජකයෝද සේවකයෝද උන්වහන්සේ දුටු කල පූජේ එන ගැස්ම මැනව කියා මුර ගැසුවෝය. පිලාත් උඹලාට මොහු රැගෙන ගොස් පුරුෂේ එන කතා මක් නිසාද මොහු අද කිසි වරදක් ඇති බව මට නොපෙනේ යැයි කීවේය. විදේවරු ඔහුට උත්තර දෙමින් අපට ව්‍යවස්ථාවක් තිබේ. අමාම දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ පුත්‍රයායි ඔහු කී බැවින් ඒ ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ හැටියට ඔහු මරණ ලැබියේ යුතුයයි කීවෝය. එබැවින් පිලාත් ඒ කීම අසා වඩාත් බය වූයේ නැවත ප්‍රේතෝරියම් ශාලාවට ඇතුළුව උඹලා කොතනින්දැයි යේසුස් වහන්සේගෙන් ඇසුවේය. නමුත් යේසුස් වහන්සේ ඔහුට කිසි උත්තරයක් නොදුන්සේක. උඹ මට කතා කරන්නේ නැද්ද? ඔබ මුදාහරින්ද බලයද ඔබ පුරුෂේ යන වසන්ත බලයද මට ඇති බව ඔබ දන්නේ නැද්දයි පිලාත් උන්වහන්සේට කීවේය. යේසුස් වහන්සේ ඔහුට උත්තර දෙමින් ඉහලින් ඒ නුඹට නොදෙන ලද්දේ නම් මට විරුද්ධව නුඹට කිසි බලයක් නැත. එහෙයින් මා නුඹට පාවා දුන් තැනැත්තාගේ පාපය වඩා මහත්යයි කීවේය.
Okay, so now Jesus, in this context, there's another principle that is very important to grasp, which is the principle of meekness. Now, meekness, people sometimes confuse this with weakness. It's two totally different things entirely. When someone is weak, they have no power. Meekness is power under control. When someone or something is meek, it has incredible power within itself, but it also has kept that power deliberately under control. So you can have, say for example, you can have a car with a V12 engine in it, huge engine. And you go on the road, and if you just touch that gas, it just goes like that. But the driver will keep that power, I would keep that power under control. It's there, the power is there, but I am choosing, because I'm a safe driver, I'm choosing to keep it under control. Now you remember Jesus in the garden? And here comes Peter, grabs his sword, chops off an ear. What does Jesus say? He says, if need be, all I have to do is ask God, and right now I would have 12 legions of angels that would come in this situation and take care of this whole thing. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled? Because when Jesus was in that situation and praying in the garden and struggling with that situation and sweating blood in that situation, and struggling with the reality of what the cross would be and would mean to Him, He that knew no sin, becoming sin for us, taking on Himself the sins of the whole world. And experiencing separation from the Father. Now in that situation, He was struggling with that, but He had the power, if He wanted to get out of that situation. So even here, when He goes and He stands before Pilate, and Pilate says to Him, "You don't you know I have the power to crucify you and let you go?" And Jesus has to give a little tiny reminder to him in this context, in this situation. You would have no power in this situation unless God wanted you to be a role player in this situation, to be doing exactly what you're doing even right now. Oh, don't worry. There is a day and a moment when Pilate and all will be brought to account before the judge of all judges. All will have to stand before the... You will have to give an account of your lives to the King of Kings, and no connection, no money, no political advantage, nothing will buy you out of that situation. Everything you've ever done, every thought you've ever had, every word you've ever spoken will be laid bare for all eternity in the sight of all creation. And as much as people try to spin and to control and to govern people's perceptions, you cannot hide from the light of God that shines on that day. But Jesus in this place, again throughout the entire crucifixion situation, Jesus kept that power that He had under control, because He was going to finish the will of God. And the mistake that the world often makes when it sees God's true people, the world makes a mistake when it sees God's true people many times. And one of the mistakes that they make is because they, when you follow the leading of the Spirit of God will also keep the power of God within you in check. So that power that's within you will only function when the Spirit of God wants it to go. So See, the world, part of the way the world works is if it has any power at all, the way that it has to show that it has power is to use that power. So North Korea, they don't have enough rice to feed their people. They get two or three nuclear bombs. And they have to blow them up to show the world, we have a bomb. So China gives them a bomb, they change the sticker, put North Korea on the side, and they go blow it up. We have power, we have power. We have to show you we have power. You know, even the guy in one of these government offices that you have to go to get some paper stamped or whatever, right? He has to show you he has power by trying to make your life miserable. Come back tomorrow. Wait. His job will take him 2 minutes. But if he did his job in 2 minutes, he couldn't show you that he has power. The world is like that. The world, because see, the world is very insecure because all of them know their power is limited. All of them. So all of these presidents of the world in every country, all of them know and understand that their power is limited. United Nations Secretary General understands his power is limited. All these businessmen, all the power is limited. And no matter what they have, they themselves, there is appointed unto every man is a day and a time to die, and after that the judgment, and every day that goes by, they come one day closer to the limitation of their power. Whereas God's people are very, very different. See, for us, first of all, we live in connection with the Father because of what happened at the cross and through the blood of Christ Jesus. And all power in heaven and on earth is His. And we, in Him, we live and move and have our being. So out of that connection that we have with the Father, we now also are in connection with all power. And this is why that in any situation, in any context, at any moment in time, the Spirit of God can move on His people and change the entire thing. So we talked about Hezekiah's situation with when the Assyrian army came and besieged the city, and how in one night 186,000 of the soldiers of the enemy army were destroyed. Just like that, they woke up, they're all dead. Mm-hmm. Daniel in the lion's den. The Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fiery furnace. Peter tossed in the dungeon by Herod, going to be executed soon, just walks right out. God has power over every situation. But that power is under the control of the Spirit of God, and it works when the Spirit of God releases it through God's people. Nebuchadnezzar can't go into the fiery furnace to talk to the children of Israel. He has to ask the three boys, "You come to me, please, because I can't come in there. I don't have that much power." I've reached my limitation right here at the point. It's too hot in this kitchen. I can't come in there. Please come to me. A true child of God that lives in connection with the Spirit of God, you are the most powerful thing walking on the face of this earth. And the devil and the entire system of hell knows and understands that, which is why it works so hard to make you think anything else. And now, as it pertains to death, does death have any power over a child of God? No. Death has no power over a child of God. Why? Because we died in Christ Jesus on the cross. When we come to God, when we accept His Lordship in our lives, when we receive that gift of eternal life that comes in Christ, you have already crossed through that. You have already died to the world. And the life that you now live in the world is the life you now live in Christ Jesus. He lives through you. And so for us, we are in connection with the source of all power. And death, the grave, and hell has no power over the children of God. So thank God for the reality that we have in Christ Jesus. Okay, time has gone quick, so my time is up. I have to stop there for now. For you.